I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Today, we continue our series, Midday in the Neighborhood. During the past few months, our city has been whipsawed by revelations about unethical and possibly criminal conduct by our former mayor, as a former police chief goes to jail for not paying his taxes. But despite weak leadership, our neighborhoods remain strong and full of people who are willing to organize, mobilize, and fight on behalf of their communities and our city. Every few weeks, we are checking in with folks from all 278 of Baltimore's neighborhoods. Today, my guests are Joyce Richardson of Reservoir Hill in Central Baltimore, Caitlin Series of the Overlea Community Association near the Baltimore County line, and Mark Jaskolski of Federal Hill near the Inner Harbor. Midday in the Neighborhood starts right after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Hope you survived the last episode of Game of Thrones last night. I can't admit as if I were actually tuning in myself, but I understand it's a very popular program. Luke, did you watch it last night? You did? And were you happy with the finale? Sienna, our producer, Sienna Greaves, loves Game of Thrones, and Rob, our producer, loves it and thought it went well. What did you think? That's all you're looking for. All right. Well, you know, you keep the bar low enough and you can meet the standard. That's good. That's good. All right. We're not going to talk about Game of Thrones today. Perhaps maybe the only show on the face of the planet not talking about it. But we're going to talk about Midday in the Neighborhood. That's our series in which we've set out to spotlight the remarkable tapestry of communities that make up the city of Baltimore. According to the group Live Baltimore, there are 278 unique neighborhoods in our city. And our aim here on Midday in the next few months is to sit down with people who are actively involved in each and every one of those communities to learn about where they live and to hear about the issues that connect them and concern them. Today, I'm joined by representatives of three Baltimore communities, Reservoir Hill, which is located just south of Druid Hill Park near the city's geographic center, Overlea, located in the far northeast corner of the city on the Baltimore County line, and Federal Hill on the western bank of the Inner Harbor down in South Baltimore. Joyce Richardson is co-chair of the board of directors of the Reservoir Hill Improvement Council. Joyce, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And Caitlin Series is president of the Overlea Community Association. Welcome, Caitlin.
Thank you for having me.
And as well, Mark Jaskolski is here. He's the president of the Federal Hill South Neighborhood Association. Mark, good to meet you, sir.
Same to you.
And listeners, we invite you to be part of our conversation. If you live in Federal Hill, Reservoir Hill, or Overlea, we'd be delighted to hear from you. If you live anywhere else, you're also welcome to call at 410-662-8780, our email midday@wipr.org, our Twitter handle @MiddayWIPR, and we are also streaming on the WIPR Facebook page. So Joyce Richardson, let me start with you. I'm going to ask each of you to sort of situate your neighborhoods, where you are, what the boundaries are, just for folks who may not be familiar with them, so they'll know what area of town we're talking about.
The boundaries for Reservoir Hill are, we are bounded by Druid Hill Park on the north end. On the west, it would be Druid Hill Avenue. To the right, we would be Park Avenue, or actually Mount Royal. Mm-hmm. And
right by where the expressway on North Avenue.
Yes, as you lead into 83, and then North Avenue.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. And full disclosure, I've lived in Reservoir Hill since 1986, and so I know a little bit about that neighborhood as opposed to some of the other ones. Overlea is, I'll admit, Caitlin, a place that I don't know a whole lot about. It's up near Baltimore County, right?
Yes, it is. It's right on the county line. So our community association actually spans city and county. So our boundaries are, we cross Bel Air Road. Our southern boundary is Kenwood Avenue and Fleetwood Avenue, and then our northern boundary is Taylor Avenue. So we kind of
and that's already in the county by
yes.
the time you get to Taylor Avenue.
Yeah. Yes.
And so your community association is a mix of folks who live both in the county and the city.
That's correct.
I
yeah.
think that makes for some interesting comments at meetings.
It yeah. sure does. And it makes for some very lively conversation.
Yeah.
But we do see a lot of contrast between city and county, and we work with both county government and different amenities there and the city as well. So we cover 1,300 households altogether.
Yeah, that's a good crop, that's for sure. And Mark, Federal Hill is a place that folks think they know. It's perhaps one of the more well-known neighborhoods in our city.
Where our boundaries are, we basically have a square. We're for Cross Street, Light Street, Ford Avenue, and Covington. So that's our boundaries.
Yeah, right down there by the harbor and, with all sorts of stuff going on. So, Mark, as you, survey the folks in your neighborhood and as you talk to them and lead them as part of the Federal Hill South Association, and we should say that there's more than one community association in what we know as Federal Hill. Is that right?
There is. There's Federal Hill Neighborhood Association, our Neighborhood Association of Federal Hill South, and then there's South Baltimore Neighborhood Association. And then if you go on the other side of Ford Avenue, there's Riverside. And then farther down would be Locust Point. So
that's a lot of associating. Why do you think it's chopped up that way?
I don't know the answer to that. And some people get confused when they move into the neighborhood of where they belong, which is their right association. So we try to help them out. We are active with I'm active with the other presidents to keep a dialogue going with them. So,
And Joyce Richardson over in Reservoir Hill, where we live, it's a somewhat similar situation. I mean, I live on Utah Place, and we have our own little Utah Madison Neighborhood Association. And then folks over, towards Mount Royal Terrace and that area have a little bit, have somewhat different concerns, I suppose. But the concerns are not dramatically different.
No, we all care about safety and cleanliness in the neighborhood and, of course, green space. But we have block clubs. There are still some small block clubs. they are sort of pocketed in the neighborhood, but they are considered community organizations as well. Sure.
And I'm also interested in what all three of you do for your day jobs and how that informs your involvement in your neighborhood. And Joyce, you worked at City Hall for more than one mayor. Tell us a little bit about your career.
Yes, I retired in 2014 from the mayor's office. So I have since returned to work. I did work for Beth Alm, actually. Up until last February, I worked for them for about a year.
That's a synagogue that's right sort of in the middle of our neighborhood.
Yes,
on Utah
Place. Beth Alm is quite a nucleus in our neighborhood. They reach out to the community. Rabbi Berg does, very good. Your question to me though was,
your career at City Hall. What were you doing in the mayor's office?
Oh, I worked in several departments, but my last department was Office of Neighborhoods.
Yeah, so it seems like you're ideally suited to lead the Reservoir Hill Improvement Council.
It would seem.
Because you know the inner workings of city government.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And Caitlin, straddling the county and the city, what's your take on the responsiveness of local governments in both of those jurisdictions?
Well, we are very fortunate that we have very responsive representatives on both sides, but they are different. So we have that most of our job is navigating people to the resource that they need, because sometimes it's not even clear where the line is. So whether it's city or county, they have different setups and resources and sort of hierarchies that we have to navigate. But we are very fortunate that our representatives are responsive, even though nobody knows we're there, our representatives know we're there.
Now, by nobody knows you're there, I mean, you really feel like Overlea is overlooked a little bit, huh?
A little bit. Northeast Baltimore has a funny camaraderie because we are more suburban, but we are a ton of people up there, and it's a lot of single-family housing and working families, and we love our local businesses and we support them, but a lot of times the support comes from within the community, and we really try and network with each other, because a lot of times I'll talk about a restaurant or an opportunity or a farmer's market or a housing listing, and people say, "Oh, where's that? I don't even know what that is." So we are a Baltimore community, but we're sort of hidden.
Yeah, well, there's 278 distinct right. Baltimore communities, and not everybody's going to be aware of all of them. Certainly, Federal Hill, Mark, is a place that people know. It's a tourist destination. It's a destination for a lot of locals who go down there for entertainment. There's the Cross Street Market, which is now just undergoing a whole new renovation. But there's a lot of bars and restaurants that people hang out in. And with the different community associations, I guess you've even had a few occasions in which one association would oppose another when it came to a development or something like that.
I guess about 5 years ago, we had a little bit of that, but we haven't. We've been sort of working together on the other things, like with Cross Street Market. That's one thing that everyone's really actively excited about. You know, there was its issues in the beginning of the revitalization of that, but that got, you know, handled. So we've tried to work together. I work really closely with Beth Whitmer, who's the president of Federal Hill Neighborhood Association. We're actively talking all the time. So if we see an issue, we converse about it, and we also are pretty active talking to our councilman, Eric Costello.
Mm-hmm. And you, in your day job, you're an attorney, right?
Yes.
And you work for the city.
Yep. I'm a city prosecutor, career prosecutor for going on 13 years now.
Yeah. So that's an interesting take and an interesting perspective of the city writ large. Do you find that that's a good training for leading a neighborhood association down where you live?
You know, I love the job. I love the city. And if whatever I can do to give back, I do through the Neighborhood Association, through my activities with, the state's attorney's office. And so I try to do the best I can every day. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And Caitlin, you have a career in public health.
That's correct.
And also you're at the Bloomberg School, but you've also done some work, or you're working on a doctorate, is that right?
Yes.
In the Department of Environmental Health and Engineering.
Yes.
So you're on the ground in your professional work in terms of how neighborhoods work, how cities work, how the environment works. I mean, that's got to help a lot in your job.
Yeah, I definitely bring a lot of my experience working at the School of Public Health and doing environmental health research to our work in the community. So one of Joyce mentioned green spaces, and we know that those are so valuable, and the public health research really supports those, so that we've made that sort of part of our effort. We work with Tree Baltimore to get trees in where we can, and I specifically study food system issues. So we have our farmers market that I helped create with my public health expertise, and we're also doing different native plantings to support our local food web. We really, my work has informed a lot of the different community activities, but they have also been informed by other community members, of course, mm-hmm. as well.
Sure. And Joyce, I mean, what's your take on in terms of the responsiveness? Our city council person is Leon Pinkett. We're in the 7th councilmanic district. There's obviously been a big upheaval at City Hall in the last, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. What's your take on how the police respond, how the city council responds, how the various departments, transportation or public works, have you found them to be helpful?
I have found them to be very responsive. Of course, Leon Pinkett, Councilman Pinkett, is a resident of Reservoir Hill, but that doesn't make him show partiality to us.
Mm-hmm.
He has a large
it's a big
zip
district.
Code. It's a
yeah.
big district that he has. But everyone in the city is very responsive to our needs. We have regular police reports at our community meetings every month. And our numbers are pretty good,
And numbers
in
terms
crime,
of...
In terms of crime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. Our statistics.
Have you found in the time that you've lived there that it's gone down, it's leveled off, how has it changed? How long have you lived in the neighborhood?
Well, I've actually lived in Reservoir Hill about 22 years.
Mm-hmm. And in that time, what's your take on how the neighborhood's doing?
I would like to talk about maybe, let's say, the last 10 years that I've really taken a note
mm-hmm.
of it, because I think it's really gone down. I've, been taking an assessment of the statistics, and we are doing much better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing to know for
yeah.
all sorts of neighborhoods. And,
yes.
when the narrative about the city as a whole is not that, where the narrative is that, the crime is an increasing problem. There are some neighborhoods that are finding that that's not the case for them. So that's good to know.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll have more of Midday in the Neighborhood with Mark Jaskolski. He's the president of the Federal Hill South Neighborhood Association. Caitlin Sears is president of the Overlea Community Association. And Joyce Richardson, she's the co-chair of the board of directors of the Reservoir Hill Improvement Council. We will take a quick break. And when we come back, you're welcome to join us at 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. You can drop us a tweet at @MiddayWYPR. You can check us out on the WIPR Facebook page where we are streaming live. By the way, in case you haven't heard, I want to let you know about the incredible gift that the investor Robert F. Smith has made to graduates of Morehouse College. It's an HBCU in Atlanta. He promised to pay off the student loans of all of the graduating class, nearly 400 students, tens of millions of dollars. He announced this during his commencement speech at Morehouse on Saturday. So a shout out to Mr. Smith for his targeted philanthropy that addresses one of the main causes of income inequality in America, rising student loan debt. So bravo to Robert F. Smith. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is 88.1 WYPR.
Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Quick word about tomorrow's show. My guest will be John Urschel. He's written an extraordinary new memoir called Mind and Matter, A Life in Math and Football. Urschel played football at Penn State and in the NFL. He was an offensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens, but in addition to football, Urschel has had a lifelong passion for math. He retired from professional football, and he's now pursuing his PhD in mathematics at MIT. He is brilliant, and we will meet him tomorrow. We're also going to meet a former Baltimore police officer who's a very experienced investigator named Jim Cabezas. Oh, yeah. He's written a book with a veteran Baltimore journalist, Joan Jacobson. They've teamed up on a book about his career in law enforcement. He was an investigator on some of Maryland's most high-profile cases, despite the encroachment over time of a profound physical disability. The book is called Eyes of Justice, A Career Crime Fighter Battles Corruption and Blindness. All that's coming up tomorrow on Midday. Hope you'll join us then. If you've just joined us today, it's another edition of Midday in the Neighborhood, our series of conversations with folks who are active in all of Baltimore's 278 neighborhoods. If you are involved in leadership of your community, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email with your contact information to midday@wypr.org, and one of our producers will be in touch to book you on the show. My guests here today in Studio A are Caitlin Sears, the president of the Overlea Community Association, Joyce Richardson, she's the co-chair of the Reservoir Hill Improvement Council, and Mark Jaskolski, he's the president of the Federal Hill South Neighborhood Association. So we welcome your conversation or your perspective on your neighborhood, as particularly if you're a resident of any of the neighborhoods we happen to be talking about today. We're going to do these three at a time. So again, today it's Reservoir Hill, Federal Hill, and Overlea. Our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. To drop us a tweet, it's @MiddayWYPR. And to follow me on Twitter, it's @TomHallWYPR. You can also catch us on the WYPR Facebook page. So Joyce Richardson, when it comes to the events that have taken place in City Hall over the last 5 weeks, in which Mayor Catherine Pugh resigned from office, we now have Mayor Jack Young. He has said that his two priorities are what they refer to as crime and grime. Sounds to me like those are pretty much consonant with what folks in Reservoir Hill are interested in focusing on.
Yes, we are interested in the crime and the grime, but we are, I think we have a pretty much of a handle on it right now. And so we always need volunteers. Anybody out there listening who lives in Reservoir Hill, we are looking forward to taking on a larger campaign this summer in terms of cleaning our alleys again. These are things that Reservoir Hill Improvement Council has always done. But, we fall by the wayside a little bit, so now it's time to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So a lot of neighbors getting together and doing cleanups and alley cleanups and stuff. They're not just relying on the city and the Department of Public Works to come and pick stuff up. Yeah. And I think that happens in a lot of neighborhoods around town. And Overly, how big of an issue is crime up there? I mean, when we talk about the city of Baltimore, it's one of the first things that people, you know, tend to focus on. But up near the county line, what are people thinking about it up there?
We really, to echo what Joyce said, the perception sometimes is that crime is on the rise, but really the numbers don't bear it out. Our community deals with nonviolent crime like burglary and mostly people leaving their cars unlocked and people going through them, stuff like that. We really don't have a major issue, like I'm sure other neighborhoods, with serious crime. We're very fortunate for that.
How about in terms of keeping the neighborhood clean?
We have a very active community on patrol, and they really keep on top of both criminal activity, which we really don't have that much of, but they really do a lot of reporting to 311, and we have a lot of dialogue about keeping the neighborhood looking nice. And we also have some great community volunteers. We're a multi-generational community. We have some retirees who make it their mission to go on a walk every day and make sure the streets are clean. So, I would say our major issues are we have a major bus stop, the Overly bus loop turnaround, and we do have some trash issues there. So we're always also looking for volunteers to help keep it clean, but we do have a dedicated core.
Yeah, and that is another example of folks getting together and taking the bull by their own horns, right? I mean, really deciding, not just waiting for Department of Public Works or Baltimore County folks to come and fix it.
Yeah. Yes.
And Mark, I mean, in Federal Hill, you've got a mix of residents and businesses. Is there a tension between the residents and businesses? Is there a cooperative spirit? What's your take on how that works?
You know, there's always things that come up, and so we try to work together with the other organizations to at least have a dialogue with the business. If a business wants to come into our neighborhood and open up or something, try to have a dialogue with them to find out what they want to accomplish and get a voice from all of the neighborhood associations to sort of get our word out there. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was we have a South Baltimore Task Force, I think they're calling themselves now, which is a group of all the associations in South Baltimore. They call it the Peninsula, to try to get one voice together with that's been put together by Councilman Costello and Rachel Wagner from Riverside Neighborhood Association, and our secretary, Rachel Rode, also is the secretary on that association. So not to add more meetings on top of meetings, they've helped to sort of get our voice out there and sort of get us one voice, a stronger voice coming from our district, all in the peninsula, to, you know, make sure we're heard, not as a bunch of separate organizations, but as one big organization. And it sort of helped. And that came from the crime. You know, we have an uptick in crime sometimes, and we had the two high-profile murders in our neighborhood, and that was sort of how we wanted to make something good out of what occurred.
And how long ago were those? Which ones are you referring to?
There was the murder of Alex in front of the Royal Farms on Key Highway, and then there was
Just a conviction in that case. Right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then there was also the murder of Tim Morcone on Riverside, coming up on a year, about September, mm-hmm. I think. So mm-hmm. those sort of, and not to say that, you know, there's hundreds of murders in the city, and not to say that they're any more important than any other murders, but they hit to home because they were, you know, literally a couple blocks from my house. So,
sure. Yeah, and that happens in a lot of places. Let's go to the phones to Hilda in Frederick. Hilda, welcome to Midday in the Neighborhood. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. And I was really excited from the lady from Overly, because I went to the Maryland School for the Blind, but nobody ever mentions the Maryland School for the Blind on your radio station ever. And when I went there, it was considered the best school for the blind in the country.
Oh, terrific. Yeah. As a matter of fact, my guest tomorrow, Jim Cabezas, is doing a presentation about his book at the Maryland School for the Blind in the branch near the Enoch Pratt Library tomorrow night. Yeah. So we'll be talking a little bit about it then. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that call, Hilda. I appreciate it. And Overly is home to the Maryland School for the Blind, pretty big campus too, right?
Yes, it's big, and they have a lot of new construction going on, and they're really making a lot of improvements all the time. We try and partner with them whenever we can, so we have them come to our Overly Arts Fest event and do really interesting art with the kids that's tactile. And we had a teacher come and teach about what they do at Maryland School for the Blind, because Hilda's right. Maybe some people don't know, and it's a real community asset, and it's something that's definitely an anchor in our community.
Yeah, and we have a couple of organizations working with kids in Reservoir Hill. One is the St. Francis Center, which is undergoing or about to undergo a major renovation. And then there's a community farm there, the Whitelock Community Farm, and they do a lot of things with children as well, Joyce.
Yes, absolutely. And we have several community organizations in our neighborhood. In addition to the two that you mentioned, we have New Lens, and they specialize in filming, you know, with young people. And of course, the Child First is within the school, within Dorothy I. Heights. We have a new 21st century school in our neighborhood as
well.
Yeah,
we do.
Now.
Dorothy Heights Elementary. Yes. It's a beautiful building. Yeah, and that was renovated as part of the 21st century schools building. What do you think the effect of that school being renovated has been on the neighborhood?
Oh, it's definitely been it's been the main purpose of our revitalization, I think, is around the school.
Yeah.
You know, I think that has been the, it's been a plus all the way through.
And there's more development on the way. This area called Madison Park North, which is kind of on North Avenue, which right now is an empty field. They've gotten rid of some public housing that was there for a while, or some private housing too.
Yes, we have Madison Park North, and we also have Drew Lake Park Drive. There's mm-hmm. some development that's going to be coming there as well.
Yeah,
we have community meetings every fourth Tuesday. And right now we're having them at the Riviera because Beth Orme is being renovated.
Right.
And they
more renovations.
And Beth Orme has been, you know, they have been so helpful in terms of reaching out and letting the community organizations meet at their house of worship.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beth Orme is a real fundament to that neighborhood. It's where we vote. Yes. Where a lot of community meetings have. The Riviera is an apartment complex. It's right on Druid Park Lake Drive. And Mark Jaskolski down in Federal Hill, the Cross Street Market, that is the renovation there completely done? I'm a little bit behind the
time. I think they're about a month away. I think there were some issues with the whole city getting the permits finalized, but I think they're about a month out. So a lot of people are very excited about that. They miss...
Are some of the vendors open already?
Not currently. Okay. Because I was on vacation. I just got back about 3 o'clock last night. So, but I haven't been following that. But yeah, I think they're about a couple weeks away. So,
and the was the neighborhood involved in, you know, decisions about what kind of vendors were going to be in there, what kind of businesses?
They were, let's say they were vocal on ones that they wanted to remain there, and whether they were completely successful. They wanted Nick's Fish House to stay there, and obviously they did not continue their lease. But there are some vendors in there that a lot of the residents really go to a lot, so they were adamant about keeping them, and I think their voice was somewhat heard. But we did as best we could on that.
And you know, that's always going to be an issue. I mean, Caitlin, up where you are, you know, when even something as simple as I say simple because you organizer, you know how darn unsimple it is, but a farmer's market. I mean, who to have, what kind of vendors, what kind of farmers, what kind of craftspeople. I mean, it's complicated. A neighborhood association is a very diverse group of folks, and people have different opinions.
Definitely. So we made the farmer's market happen as a response to the community. We asked when Carol Stover was our community president a few years ago, we said, what do we want? You know, we need a direction. We need a vision for our community. And the farmer's market came as a real desire. And because we also want local businesses and we want development, we have a couple of vacant properties along Bellaire Road that we'd love to see people occupy and revitalize that section of the road, we decided we're going to really highlight local businesses at our farmers market. We're going to defray the cost of entry so that people who may find cost as a barrier to starting their business can really get to know the community, connect, and we've seen that really take off. We're in our fourth year now, and we've seen people build their businesses and stay in the Northeast, which is what we wanted.
Caitlin Series is president of the Overlee Community Association. Joyce Richardson is with the Reservoir Hill Improvement Council. Mark Jaskolski is with the Federal Hill South Neighborhood. I'm Tom Hall. It's Midday in the Neighborhood. Our number, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. You can drop us a tweet at @MiddayWIPR. You can catch us on the WIPR Facebook page as well. Let's go to the phones to Kim in Baltimore. Welcome to Midday. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I guess this question is probably most appropriate maybe for Federal Hill. As developments happen in neighborhoods, they kind of create their own names and almost their own neighborhood identity. Port Covington or Stadium Square or McHenry Row. So I'm wondering, as community, and I guess development in Reservoir Hill too, so I'm wondering, how is community association, are you kind of keeping your neighborhood identity as these new developments pop up and kind of create their own neighborhood name?
Oh, that's a good question, Kim. Mark, what do you think? I think branding is important, isn't it?
It's a very interesting question. I guess one of the things that we've done is try to be proactive rather than being reactive. So when there's a development that's being proposed in our neighborhood, we have them come to our meetings, show us the drawings and show us what they want to build there. And we have our voice. And, you know, a lot of the times what we say does get taken into account. Sometimes we are reactive. You know, you learn something after one thing is built. The next thing you say, hey, we need to be knowledgeable about what they're building in there, so we can make sure that things that we don't like happening don't happen again. So
yeah, sure. And Joyce Richardson, when it comes to gentrification, this is something that people in our neighborhood do talk a lot about. There are some kids at the Doveco Cafe, which is a wonderful coffee shop that opened a couple of years ago on Madison Avenue in Reservoir Hill, run by two marvelous people who are so very involved in the community, Aisha and Cole. There are kids there sometimes who wear T-shirts that say gentrification is warfare. I mean, there are a lot of different feelings about property values increasing and the ramifications of that for some of the people who've been in the neighborhood for a long time. Is this something that comes up a lot at the meeting?
No, it doesn't come up a lot, because there have been a couple of meetings, I wouldn't say private meetings, but what happens is that we have decided that we would like to revitalize without the gentrification piece, okay? So it's very hard to keep a control on it. I mean, it's very hard to control that, but for the most part, we as an organization, that's Reservoir Hill Improvement Council, try to meet the needs of everyone in the community in terms of the housing piece, in terms of crime. And if we treat everyone the same, we would hope that, you know, that spreads.
Yeah, and it's also good to have a mix of affordable housing, yes, as well as houses that are, you know, are going to be a little higher end. So, I mean, it doesn't seem to me like it's impossible to have both in the same neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah. And Caitlin, up in Overlee, what's the racial mix of that neighborhood and the sort of income level? You mentioned some retired people, but you also have a bunch of young families with, you know, little kids who are interested in school.
Yeah, we're definitely multi-generational, which is one of our strengths, I think. And we are multiracial as well. Overlee has always been sort of accessible via the streetcar line and the bus lines and everything. So we have a nice mix. We are always looking for more people in leadership who want to help represent how diverse Overlee is, because we have right now a city-heavy community association.
So more folks from the city involved in the association than the county folks.
Yes, I would say, yeah. And then the second part of your question?
Well, just how does that how does that affect the overall, you know, capacity for people to get along? I mean, if it's older people and younger people, if it's black, white, if people are from different socioeconomic levels, is it difficult herding those chickens?
Well, you know, community activism is community activism, and everybody has a little bit of a different spin. Everybody has their own perspective, but I would say that Overly is a pretty proud community, and so we really come together in terms of maintaining our community and making it somewhere that's nice to live for everybody. So everybody likes to hear kids playing, and like I already mentioned, the retirees picking up trash. Everybody does their part. And we do have a lot of single-family housing that is really affordable. So it's a nice mix of people.
All right, got a few calls that we're going to get to when we come back from a break with Mark Jaskolski of the Federal Hill South Neighborhood Association, Joyce Richardson of the Reservoir Hill Improvement Council, and Caitlin Series of the Overly Community Association. Midday in the Neighborhood will continue with your phone calls, questions, and comments. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. To send us a tweet, @MiddayWIPR. You can also catch us on the WIPR Facebook page. Before we go to a break, on Mondays here on Midday, it's our practice to read the names of the people who've lost their lives to violence in the previous week. We do so to stand in witness to their untimely deaths, and we remember their families and friends in their hour of grief. So far in 2019, 114 people in Baltimore City have lost their lives to violence. Police have released the identities of 6 victims of homicide whose deaths were reported the week before last. They are Jorge Perez, age 28, Ibaya Drake, age 30, Daryl Walker, age 37, Devon Manning, age 22, Travis Gardner, age 25, and Deisha Jones. She was 29 years old. Baltimore police have identified 2 of the 5 homicide victims who lost their lives last week. They are Robert Williams, age 53, and Sidney Brewer. He was 35 years old. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is 88.1 WYPR.
Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you're just joining us, it's Midday in the Neighborhood, our occasional series spotlighting Baltimore's various communities. There are, count them, 278 unique and vibrant neighborhoods in our city. And from time to time here on Midday, we're sitting down with folks who are active in each and every one of those communities. We'd love to hear about where you live, if you are involved in your neighborhood, maybe as a leader in your community association or as an organizer of community initiatives and events. Let us know who you are. Please email your contact information to midday@wipr.org, and one of our producers will be in touch. Today we are speaking with representatives from Reservoir Hill, Federal Hill, and Overly about life in their respective neighborhoods. Joining me here in Studio A, Joyce Richardson, Mark Jaskolski, and Caitlin Series. We invite you to join us as well. 410-662-8780, our email midday@wipr.org. You can drop us a tweet @MiddayWIPR, and we're on the WIPR Facebook page as we speak. Mark, before we do another thing, I want to talk about an event, a fundraising event that your group is doing, which is interesting because part of the good part of the work that you do as a neighborhood association is raise money for entities within the neighborhood. That's not the case with a lot of other associations, but tell us about what you guys have coming up Thursday night.
Thursday night at AVAM, we have our annual wine tasting. This year, thanks to a generous sponsorship by Alex Smith from the Atlas Group, we've been able to lower the price to $25. It's a wine tasting, 6 different types of wine and food from all the local establishments in Federal Hill, Locust Point, etc. And it's just a great event. There's a DJ, and it goes from 7 to 10. And if I would be remiss without saying, if you can get tickets, it's fhswinetasting.com, and $25.
And we'll try to link to that on our website. And where does the money go that you raise?
It goes to our community association, and then we try to be vigilant about giving money to back to the schools in the district and around South Baltimore. And also one of the main sponsorships or partnerships that we have is with St. Ignatius Loyola Academy. They're gracious enough to let us use their space. They're very active in helping us out. And so we give them a pretty generous donation every year for that. But we also give to the other other schools in our district, one of them being Digital Harbor, and the proceeds that we have from our annual chili cook-off, we gave them a substantial donation this year towards their scholarship program for their DigiBall, which is their scholarship program for college graduates.
And that's a good thing. I mean, Joyce Richardson, in our community in Reservoir Hill, we have like the St. Francis Center, and there are a number of events there. I know there's everything from car washes to, you know, little stuff that they do that folks in the neighborhood help out, because helping St. Francis helps the neighborhood, doesn't it?
Exactly. And as well as Whitelock Farm, mm-hmm. Whitelock Community Farm, they also have events. They offer classes in gardening, among other things, preservation, and food. Just preserving food is what I meant.
Yeah. And they are putting some of that food in some of the corner stores around the neighborhood, so you can get fresh vegetables when you go of the smaller grocery stores. Yeah. And we have a couple of calls about Overly. Let's go to Carol in Overly. Carol, welcome to Midday.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. This is Carol Stover, our good friend, who's a former president of the Overly Community Association and a wonderful friend and colleague of mine from my choral arts days. It's good to hear from you, Carol. So what's on your mind today?
Thank you so much. I'm enjoying the show so much. This is wonderful. Such a wonderful conversation between community leaders and neighborhoods. I love to see this. I did have a specific question for the Reservoir Hill Lady and for the Federal Hill Man. We have, in Overly, we have set up events. The Farmers Market's been very successful for us, and we have the Overly Arts Fest, which has been very successful for us. And I'm wondering if in the other neighborhoods they've also found that in catering to the arts community or trying to foster more of an arts community and get people involved, local artists involved. Have they worked with that at all? Have they found that that is helpful to them when they're revitalizing their neighborhoods in different ways?
All right, that's a great question, Carol. Let's start in Federal Hill. Mark, what do you think? Do you have, you know, a lot of festivals and arts events down there?
I don't know if it's so much arts events, but one of the things that I helped, and this might be a good breaching off point, but when I became president, we have a residential parking program where we have to have parking permits for our thing. And so one of the things that I tried to do was to broaden out, because everyone thinks, oh, neighborhood associations, it's a bunch of crazy people. And so we wanted to bring out everyone. So we have a big party every year. And thanks for the last 2 years, thanks to a generous grant from the South Baltimore Gateway Partnership, we have what's called our Parking Pass Bash. It's a completely free event. Bouncy House, they gave us a $5,000 donation for the last 2 years, and food is all completely paid for. And just an event for people to come out and get their parking passes and meet everyone. And
so this is where they actually get the parking passes.
Right, exactly.
Which are worth gold in that neighborhood.
in Federal Hill, yes.
A parking space in Federal Hill is something that you don't often happen upon. Yeah, yeah. And in Reservoir Hill, Joyce, to Carol's question, there are a lot of events that bring folks out around the Whitelock Community Farm, and Doveco Cafe has sponsored many of them. There's a Juneteenth event coming up on the 18th of June, or right around there, whatever, the 15th, I forget the date.
The 15th.
Off the top of, 15th, yes. Where you can take a house and garden tour of houses in the neighborhood. That kind of stuff happens a lot, doesn't it?
Right. The house and garden tour is actually 25 years. They're celebrating the annual event this year. And it's in collaboration with Juneteenth, which is June 15th. As far as the artists are concerned, art is kind of intertwined in almost everything we do. We're right across the street from MICA.
Yeah.
And so we have students who live in the community, as well as events that come up. For instance, the most recent event is one of the young ladies who won a grant to do a design for access to Druid Hill Park. you know, so that's a project that's currently going on right now.
Yeah, of course, Druid Hill
she
Park.
She had to wait for the weather to change.
Yeah, yeah, and of course, the Druid Hill Park, anybody who's driven down Druid Park Lake Drive knows that Druid Hill Park is undergoing a major renovation itself, which has nothing to do with the Reservoir Hill Improvement Council per se, but they're putting in water tanks there, and then they're going to cover that up so that the reservoir has actually been sort of split in half.
Right.
It's a smaller lake than it was before, or it will be, and that won't be done until 2022. Any updates on that that you know of? Everything
no,
going okay
I mentioned our community meeting, so usually we have someone come and give us an update. We don't have anyone scheduled for that until June.
Yeah, yeah, that's a multi-year project. Let's go back to the phones to Linda in Lutherville. Linda, welcome to Midday.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm enjoying your show. I had a comment and a question for Caitlin Series from Overly. I'd like her to speak to the role that the Natural History Society of Maryland is playing in Overly. We're currently on Bel Air Road, just across from the St. Michael's Church, and I'm one of the many volunteers there, and I know that it has become an anchor in that community. The Natural History Society is a nonprofit that offers innovative, great nature education in many of the neighborhoods in Baltimore, including the other two neighborhoods whose representatives are with you today. We have a community naturalist network that meets regularly to explore neighborhood green spaces and find out about the plants and animals that live in the city. But really, our Bel Air site, our center in Overly, is the centerpiece. So I wanted to make your listeners aware of that. The building has fossils and shells and taxidermied animals and fabulous natural history collections. And we're also the site of the farmers market that was mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So that your listeners will find out more about this gem in Overly. We're at www.marylandnature.org. So
right,
I just wanted to put that plug in and to thank you for inviting the guests from the three different neighborhoods.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call. And so the Natural History Society sounds like something of a fundament of the neighborhood up in Overly?
It certainly is. We are so glad that they're there. Like Linda said, they're where we have our farmers market, and they're also where we have our community association meetings. So our general meeting coming up at 7 p.m. on June 11th will be at the Natural History Society, and they let us use that space for free, which is a real help to us.
Yeah.
So the NHS is a really interesting organization. And like Linda said, you would never know driving by that when you walk in, there are 100-year-old fossils inside and there's brain coral that's bigger than any you could ever find. And it's because the Natural History Societies used to be in little pockets around Maryland and even the greater DC area. And all of the notes in the meeting minutes that are 100 years old in pencil from 1922 and all of the fossils and the different catalogs that people collected ended up in this building. So the Natural History Society we're volunteers as well. The OCA is very active with them, have worked to put everything out so people can see it. And they have a lot of free classes, some geared toward kids in the neighborhood. They have neighborhood walks where you can listen to different animals and identify them.
Yeah.
They have foraging trainings. It's really, really awesome.
And, you know, it brings up the importance of these institutions. In our neighborhood, it's Beth Om Synagogue, and they are so definitely involved and, you know, they are thoughtful about what they can do to help the neighborhood and help development and help be a meeting place. I mean, in Federal Hill, where does your association meet? We mentioned the Natural History Society.
We meet at St. Ignatius Loyola Academy.
Yeah.
When they moved to Federal Hill, I would say it's probably about 6 years now. They were right up across the up here, and they moved there, and they let us. They actively reached out to us to say, "Hey, do you want to use our space?"
So. And that's just so important, you know, to have a place that folks can really, you know, get together and be part of it. So I really appreciate all of you coming by, and I'm sorry that we didn't have a chance to get to Amelia on the phone. She's in Reservoir Hill. She's got a question about some development that they're having a little issue with Councilman Pinkett. So we'll connect, Amelia, we will connect you with Joyce to try to work on that. And as I say, if you are part of your community association and would like to be part of our Midday in the Neighborhood series, give us a call and send us an email. So Joyce Richardson, Caitlin Series, and Mark Jaskolski, thank you guys for coming by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
If you are involved in your neighborhood, here's the email. It's midday@wypr.org. One of our producers will be in touch to set up an appearance on our show. So let us know. We're going to continue this series until we hit on all 278 neighborhoods in the city of Baltimore. We want to thank the Diz for supplying lunch today. The Diz is located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. They feature signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. The Diz is open for lunch and dinner with breakfast served on the weekends. You can find them on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. So you're all invited to lunch this afternoon as soon as we finish in just a couple of minutes. Coming up tomorrow, John Urschel, a former Baltimore Ravens offensive lineman, is now pursuing a PhD in mathematics at MIT. He's going to be speaking about his new book tomorrow night at the Ivy Bookshop, and he'll spend some time with us on midday tomorrow afternoon. The book is called Mind and Matter, A Life in Math and Football. Plus, former Baltimore cop Jim Cabezas and veteran journalist Joan Jacobson will join me to talk about their new book, Eyes of Justice, A Career Crime Fighter Battles Corruption and Blindness. They're speaking about their book tomorrow night at the Maryland State Library for the Blind. That's right behind the Enoch Pratt Central Library. And they'll join me as well on midday tomorrow. That's it for us today. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up right after the news at the top of the hour from NPR. Thanks for being with us. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.